Well, friends, I must be very honest, it was with some reluctance that I agreed to speak, because to speak of your personal relation with mother, I am very hesitant. But when Anand insisted that at least a few incidents where you were involved, which could be a general guide for everybody, I picked up a few. It will be a very short talk. If there are questions, I might give some answers. I will start with something that happened in 1971. By the way, I came to the ashram in 1941, when I was not even 5. There was no school. So the school started 2 years later. Before that, we had tuition all over the place. I won't speak about that in detail. In 1971, the Bangladesh war was about to start. On the 4th of April, mother sent a message to Indira Gandhi. It is urgent and imperative that you recognize Bangladesh immediately, which would mean immediate war. But she hesitated for very practical reasons. But the country was under terrible tension. So mother took a step and she created Sri Aurobindo's action. The intention of Sri Aurobindo's action was very clearly India. To awaken the people of India, to expose the people of India to Sri Aurobindo's thoughts, especially on political, social and other spheres. She wanted those books all to be translated into Indian languages. And the people who were in the forefront of this organization were Kirit Bhai, Udar, Arindamda, and a little later Shyamchandraji. So they would go out and give talks to different groups. They decided to hold a youth camp in the ashram at Pondicherry in September. And so Arindamda called me one day and said that, can you help us in the logistics, which means that the youth will come, I have to put them in this guest house or that guest house. I said, yes, I'll do that. And I started working. Just 1 week before the seminar was to start, he called me and said that, you are teaching ideal of human unity in the knowledge. Why don't you give a talk to this, to the youth? I must say, I felt very happy. The ego was very highly boosted. And I agreed straight away. But some very senior sadhaks, I don't think I need to mention their names, told me, what is the use of all this? We are fighting among ourselves. There is no unity in the ashram. 1971. What are you giving lectures to others? So, cold water was spilled on me. And so, immediately I wrote to the mother, explaining the whole situation. And I asked her, is it really useful? In French, everything was in French. She replied straight away, if you can make the effort to present in an instructive, interesting and convincing way and present, expose to the people a little bit of the teachings of Sri Aurobindo, it will be in any case good for you. So you see, now there is a very deep message in this. And it is a message for all of us who are talking and lecturing all over the place, that we are not helping anybody else, we are helping ourselves. And I can tell you from practical experience that when you are talking to people who know nothing of Sri Aurobindo but are keen to know, the kind of questions that they ask demands a very good understanding. So I can tell you that for me that was a real school of education. So the second message is that, I mean, I read it in that way, that do not bother about helping the world. Help yourself. If you understand Sri Aurobindo better, that is the best help that you can give. And then when you give a talk, it might be useful. And very frankly speaking, I have given at least a few hundred talks outside. I'm not sure how many people have gained. Might be 2 or 3 out of 100. But even that is a great benefit. But I have gained immensely. So this is the first one little very practical message, so that all teachers, all people who are speaking outside are really benefiting themselves by teaching Sri Aurobindo and the mother. Second one, I will go back to an early days. It was sometime in 1958. I remember that because at that time mother was taking the Dhammapada either on the Wednesday class or Friday class. I don't remember. Wednesday class. The teachings of Buddha. And somebody who was a very close friend of mine, for certain reasons, he literally abused me and insulted me in a very hurtful manner. And I felt very depressed, and I did tell mother that this is exactly what has happened. So mother said, do you remember that last being only I read Ilma Asilte, Ilma Humilie, Ilma this, Ilma that, right? That means I have been insulted, I have been humiliated. And Buddha tells that you should not react at all. So I said, mother, I can understand that very well, but I can't pretend that I am not reacting. I am feeling very hurt. She said, no, you must detach yourself completely. First of all, remember that the opinion of others has absolutely no value. They can say what they like. It is only the opinion of the divine. If I tell you something, then it's dead. All right. Now that was very comforting, right? Because otherwise, especially in the world, you will not escape the most severe criticism. If you decide to do work, if you sit quietly and do nothing, probably you will be spared. But the moment you go into work in the world and mother's work, rest assured that you are going to get blow after blow. You have to learn to be detached. Only offer it to her. And third thing, again, I was, I don't know, 17 years old. I went through a very unpleasant experience. As usual, when you are young, one tends to dramatize everything. And I mean, my world went upside down, so to say. I used to speak to mother very frankly. So I told her. She paused for some time and said, my child, you are one of the approximately 1,000 people in the ashram. You are one among the few lakh people in Pondicherry. You are one among the few million people in India. You are one drop among the billion people in the world. And this world is a drop in that vast ocean of the universe. And you are making such a drama about this small thing. In 1 second it disappeared. But it disappeared for 1 day. Next day again it came back. And again I had to remember, look, it is not very easy, right? Because it really means that if you can constantly feel that, you have shifted into the universal consciousness, more or less. And you are able to see that. But these were small tips. She gave absolutely no importance to somebody else's behavior to you, what they are talking. Plain and simple, when somebody says something abusive and wrong, we do feel hurt. But every time this happens, remember, remind yourself, that this is not the right state of mind. You have to be completely detached. I shall give one last example. This happened in 1972. On the 29th of March 1972, I used to come early to the school and I used to sit right opposite Shishidda. Shishidda was our, you don't know what to call him, headmaster, right? So he was there, he was sitting, I sat in front of him. We are very fond of each other, he liked me very much. So after the music, he gave me a brochure, a booklet. He said, "What are you people doing?" So I looked at the brochure. It was a booklet produced by the government of India. They had put up an exhibition on Sri Aurobindo. And Shahidda scolded me and said, "What are you people doing here? The government of India has put up an exhibition on Sri Aurobindo. You can't put up anything." I said, "Shahidda, it is your problem. You are the headmaster, you are the administrator. Who am I to put it up? You have to decide, then the students or the teachers will put up." I don't know what happened. Next morning, Kirit Bhai called me. He said, "We have written a letter to the mother that we are going to put up an exhibition on Sri Aurobindo and Kittu will put it up." I was scared to death. I was very happy. But I must tell you that I was scared to death. Putting up an exhibition on Sri Aurobindo is not a joke. So I waited for some time. One day, next day I wrote a letter to mother through Amrita. "Said, mother, I am happy, but at the same time I am very nervous. Because, I mean, Sri Aurobindo you can't trifle with. It has to be done very well. So I demand from you, I mean almost use the word demand, your support and help in every possible way. And I would like you to give me a theme which I can use for the exhibition." So she replied immediately. I used to send all my letters to Anreda, who was mother's son. So she replied immediately and the letter states categorically that blessings, the theme is respect. In French, it was written respect, sincerity, and adoration. And these three words must be written in light blue, because that is Sri Aurobindo's color of the centenary year. You put it on a big board, write it in light blue, bring it to me and I will sign. But she told Amrita that when you are dealing with Sri Aurobindo, respect, sincerity, adoration, three words, otherwise don't touch. You have to develop that. You have to bring these three things. See, it is extremely important for all those who are speaking on Sri Aurobindo, writing on Sri Aurobindo, dealing in some way with Sri Aurobindo. It is not enough to say he's a great man, right? It has to be respect, sincerity, adoration. Outside people can do what they like. They can respect, but we here, if we don't have that, don't talk. Dealing with the same thing, it was very fortunate that every photo, I had to send her a group of photos with a Savitri quotation for each photo and a quotation from Sri Aurobindo's own writing. She used to see, she approved almost every one of them. One photo of Sri Aurobindo, she said, "No, I don't want it." One photo of the mother, very beautiful photo. "I wanted one for 1914. When she came here, 1920 again when she came here." So I picked a photo, I think it was in France, it looks very nice. And I sent it to mother and mother said, "No, everybody will look at the outside, they will not look at the inside." Oh my God, that was an eye opener. You say how beautiful she looks, how, right? She was not interested in that. She was interested always in that inside, right? You have to be able to come, which means that the inner eye must be open, right? So purely photographically, I'm sending a message to this, right? That purely photographically, that is not enough. There must be something much more than that. So that is one. Another thing was that when I put up the quotations, there was one quotation regarding, written by Sri Aurobindo, regarding philosophy. And he writes, "Let me tell you in confidence that I never, never, never was a philosopher." But then he goes on to say that he was invited to write the Arya. And then mother and then other gentleman went away. So when I send that thing, I put the name X deliberately. Now it is there in the book also, it is X. So mother said to Amrita that I insist that this X must remain and that I do not want anything about my personal life. This is totally taboo. All that you need to know is to come, how to come in contact with the truer consciousness. What she did, what she did not do, all these details are absolute waste of time and totally unwanted, unwarranted, right? So now this is extremely important to understand that we here who are the devotees and disciples of the mother, our sole aim must be to try to get into her consciousness. It's a difficult path. It is not easy at all, especially to give up our whole lower nature and raise it to the higher level is not easy. And there are bound to be mistakes. Everyone is making mistakes. Everyone is mixed. No one is totally pure. That does not matter at all. But that central faithfulness is very important. And mother was categorical about this, that nothing personal about my life or about Sri Aurobindo's life, that it is far more important to look at the inside rather than the outside. And then one grows according to one's swadharma, one's nature, one's opening. That's not our business. That is everybody in his own way. So these are the few things that I've said. Now if you want to ask some questions, you can ask.
What was the mother's guidance when this Bangladesh war broke out?
When?
Mother's, when the Bangladesh war, during that time mother guided you and told you a few things.
Yeah, right? I'll tell you exactly. You see, what happened is, I won't say she guided me, but there was an event in June 1971. I used to take the Ideal of Human Unity. I still take. And I used to try to explain to the students, I'll tell you why I'm doing this. Because when I started teaching the human cycle, actually I started using the human cycle in my history class. And the students liked it very much. So they were going to the higher course next year. They said, "Kirtuda, you must take our human cycle class." I said, "But I am not a teacher in knowledge." So I wrote to mother that this is what their request. Mother immediately sent blessings. You start. So I started. In one conversation, I don't remember when, she told me that you must remember that Sri Aurobindo has written so many volumes from the on the intellectual plane, not from the intellectual plane, but on the intellectual plane from above. But it needs good intellect to understand that. So in the classroom, they are not only devotees, they are also questioning everything. So I have always encouraged them to find out why Sri Aurobindo said this. Get the justification from his chapters. See, one of the biggest problems which everybody faces inside and outside is that Sri Aurobindo says that Pakistan has been created by falsehood, fraud and force and it must go. It is not once or twice by accident. I have got at least a dozen letters So, how do you tell people that Pakistan must go? There is a lot of resistance. But if you read very carefully, you will find many chapters where he justifies, I mean, in principle, and I can give an argument for that, but it is an argument. It is not a proof. On the mental plane, you can prove nothing. So one day in June 1971, I told my student that if you read Sri Aurobindo well, all his books, you will get clear indications as to why he is saying that Pakistan has to go and many other things. So I told this to Jugalda. Jugalda said, all this is rubbish. Only Sri Aurobindo can say that Pakistan will go, because he is at that level. Nobody else can say, whatever you say about his writings. I said, I don't agree, but let me see. So I wrote a letter to mother straight away. I wrote to her this discussion and I asked her, what is her opinion? And she wrote back diplomatically, but very precise to the point. The disappearance of Pakistan is inevitable. It would have happened earlier, but human ignorance has delayed it. Now, what is that human ignorance? Ignorance of the supermind or some other ignorance? So, I showed it to Jugalda. Now, in 1971, when the war was going on, I was totally involved in Bangladesh. And there was a gentleman, CPI member, who came here. I collected at least 50,000 rupees worth of material and cash. I told mother also and had it sent. I put up an exhibition also on the Bangladesh torture that was going on there. Mother was 100% behind me. But that is all that she told me. I can't say anything more, right? But then after 4 years, I think it was 75, Nolinida called me one day and said, I want that letter. So I made some Xerox copies. He gave him the letter. He said, give me 3 copies. I gave him 3. He said, I want to send this to Indira Gandhi. So I said, that is your problem. So I gave it to him. So this is a fact, right? And there are something where I am not involved which I know. Shall I tell you?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
There is a friend, a very dear friend in the army who has passed away now. He became a devotee of Sri Aurobindo in 1950. He didn't see Sri Aurobindo, but he became a devotee. He joined the army in 1952. And he gave an order to the army that 11% of his salary should be sent straight to the ashram, to mother. So from 1952 onwards, he has been sending it to the mother. He was then just a cadet. In 1971, he was a signals officer, a lieutenant colonel in the army, and an ardent devotee of the mother of Sri Aurobindo. When he heard that mother had sent a message to Indira Gandhi on April 4th, the date is very interesting, April 4th, it is urgent and imperative that he recognize Bangladesh immediately. She delayed, not because she had any doubts, but for very practical reasons, because declaring Bangladesh, I mean, recognizing Bangladesh would be war immediately, and the army was not ready. There's a long story, I won't go into that. This gentleman came to Pondicherry in July 1971 and he got a chance to meet the mother. He was very close to Panditji. Panditji arranged the meeting. He went, met the mother, took her blessings and came back. In the meanwhile, what was happening is, this gentleman, being an intelligence officer, was spying on all the movements of the Pakistani and reporting them to his seniors. But he was also sending those messages to the mother, not all, very broadly. If you read the Ajanta, you will find mother is saying, I am in contact with some army officers. This is the army officer with whom she was in contact. So he came, he was very unhappy that Indira Gandhi had not recognized. He went back a little happier. He came back in August. This time with his whole family, his wife and two children. They went to Mother again. Mother blessed them all. And she told the gentleman, come back tomorrow alone. So he went back alone. Panditji was there with him. And he asked for a few blessing packets. Very interesting, few blessing packets. Now I don't know, I mean, people didn't know then why he asked few. He could ask one, but he asked a few. Then he went back to Calcutta, because that was the base of the operations. And his boss was Brigadier Tiwari, now General Retired Tiwari. In the army, it's very difficult to go from a lieutenant colonel straight to a brigadier. But this fellow had the cheek. He used to just walk into his office. And one day he saw Brigadier Tiwari, General Tiwari, sitting like that, head long. So he asked him, sir, what has happened to you? He said, what has happened to me? If you are sitting in my position, you would have gone mad. No cooperation from the Bengal government, army is not prepared, Delhi is not cooperating, all kinds of things. You don't have enough equipment. He said, what is the problem? Write a letter to Mother. He said, who is this mother? Mother of Shobindu Ashram. All this is in a book. Tiwari writes at night, all night I was thinking, why should I write to that French lady? Shobindu, I know, I've heard about him, but why should I write to that French lady? But anyway, next morning he wrote. Despite himself, he wrote the letter. And within 3 days, Panditji sent a blessing packet, right, to him. And he says, like a miracle, everything began to fall in place. So Ballaji was a very dynamic man. He went to the next man on top. What is your problem? Write to Mother. Take a blessing. And I tell you, I have met all of them. The whole rank, including the army commander, whom I have not met. All the rest I have met. General Chatterjee was one of those. They all got Mother's blessings. Within a month, he requested Panditji to send him thousands of blessings. And those thousands of blessings were distributed in the army, not only to the officers, but even to the jawans. Then, on November 30th, or December 1st, the top commander, General Arora, told him that he also had got the blessing packet that we are planning to attack on the 5th of December. He didn't know what 5th of December was, but they decided that 5th of December was to be the day. So I am writing a letter to Mother. I want you to go to Pondicherry personally and hand it over to her. So Ballaji was flown to Madras. From there he drove down by army car, came to Pondicherry, spoke to Panditji, went to Mother on December 2nd, handed over the letter. She just wrote blessings and he took it back. On December 3rd, he went to Delhi, to Calcutta, and handed over the letter with the blessings. And December 3rd afternoon, a few hours after the letter was received, the Pakistani army attacked India. They sent their airplanes to attack Pathankot, all the airports in the north. So it was an act of war. So Indira Gandhi declared at midnight of December 3rd that we are at war with Pakistan, they have attacked us. So you see, the whole problem was solved, because if we had attacked, it would have become a huge international problem. Now this is the way Mother worked, very quietly. The war was over in 13 days. On December 16, the war was over. A very fatal blunder. She called a ceasefire. Terrific international pressure. Mother was definitely unhappy. There is a comment where she says, it could have been over, but it is not for this time yet.
Basically, that is it.
So, thank you.